You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Welcome to Ringside,
the show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
You know what? You know what? You just made the list.
Really?
With Daniel Spencer.
The jabroni beaten. Now, pie eaten.
Jeremy Wallman.
That I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
And Justin Kruger.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
And now let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
I'm JK.
Is that Jeremy Wallman over there?
No, just I'm perturbed about several things right now. So,
yeah,
I've calmed down from last week, and in the just the poison that was being spewed over the microphone. I'm over that for the most part. But no, I've got other things that are just aggravating me right now. So I'll just sit here, breathe in, breathe out.
All right.
And we'll get going on the
ladies
show.
And gentlemen, quit sharing on Facebook the fake news that Kobe's Bryant's wife killed herself because his mother thinks it's true and she keeps calling him about it.
It's not just that. And God forbid you all drive something like that to happen. Don't put thoughts out there into the universe. Stop spreading fake news. You could tell if TMZ.xxx shared something to your timeline, you know it's probably not true. I mean, how many times has Bill Cosby been dead in the last 15 years?
Well, he's died, though.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyways.
He's giving somebody his jail. He'll put in pop right now.
Oh, no.
That was an objectively bad joke.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to get my mood up, so I think we're there. We're there.
But yeah. There was greatness that came out of the last episode. We now officially have a Jeremy gas bag meter.
I don't know what you're referring to.
It's now a meter for how hot and silly your takes are. So
it's weird. What take did I get? No, please don't get this.
It was the Hall of Flame discussion.
Don't even get started on that, because I spoke to hundreds of people since the episodes aired that completely agreed with me that even though that Jake the Snake Roberts is a legend, he is no Hall of Famer.
I spoke to thousands that disagreed.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
You don't even know 1,000 people.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Okay. All right.
Your 500 Twitter account spams accounts that you have. Anyway, the Bella Twins, not Hall of Famers. Maybe one of them. Jake the Snake Roberts, not a Hall of Famer. Legends
Bella
and Hall of
Famers.
The
Bella Twins will go in together.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, there was somebody apparently that's going into Hall of Fame that we all agree should be in it. Mr. Davy Boy Smith.
Yep.
About damn time, honestly.
Absolutely. And who's been floated around today? There's somebody that was. Maybe I'll remember it during the rest of the show.
Yeah, so the current class, I believe it's Bulldog, Jushin Thunder Liger, the Bella Twins.
The NWO.
They're probably going to be the headliners.
Well, yeah, it's already. They were announced as the headliners a long time ago. I'm going to try to remember who else, but I saw another name today surface for the Hall of Fame, and I was like, yeah.
Now, for the NWO, it's just Hogan, Hall, and Nash, right?
Yeah, and by the way, just want to give it an it was the NWO period. Hogan's involved, too.
So does that mean that Virgil is a Hall of Famer?
It could be, but technically they're only inducting, they only show those three, the original NWO, I think is how they're doing it. So I think all the other 25,000 members don't technically count.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I think it's the founding fathers of the NWO.
Listen, man, there's nothing more I want in WWE to be true than them recognizing Virgil and Scott Norton as Hall of Famers.
Those two probably would never be Hall of Famers. Now, I would agree with Jeremy on that.
There's a difference between legends and Hall of Famers.
I'll agree with that, too. Scott Norton, no, I didn't notice till the other day. He's a former NJPW heavyweight champion, or I guess IWGP champ, because they don't call belts by New Japan Pro Wrestling.
So we're going to have a kind of – this is not a two-part episode, but it's going to be a two-part discussion because we're going to have a guest today. The guest is running behind. So we're going to – the beginning of the show is us talking about most recent current event, and then the back end of the show will be our special guest. So I'll say who it is, and if something doesn't happen, we'll edit it out. But that guest will have cash flow on from the LOB, the Legacy of Brutality.
It's about time. I've been begging you to get...
Oh, no. That's it. Cash flow.
Been begging you to get... Which, by the way, have you seen the Ringside News?
Yeah.
Whose logo looks...
I know. I've already
very, very close. Batista. Batista was also named for the Hall of Fame, correct?
I think he's... Is he a... He's
yeah, he was like the second... Okay, so we didn't mention him just a second ago. Where is... JBL. JBL was the one that was passed around today. He's the latest rumored inductee, and 100%, I feel like JBL belongs in there, don't you? I mean, he was amongst all of his other accomplishments, not only as the Acolytes and the actual JBL character.
Did Justin Hawk Bradshaw go in there too? I mean, Bradshaw would.
Right, but I think JBL, I mean, that's a good point. But I think at that point, if you're inducting JBL, you're just inducting that persona.
Well, you inducted the Godfather, but you didn't induct Papa Shango.
Correct.
Or the Soul Taker.
Right. But
yeah.
He's
or the Good Father.
Huh?
Or the Good Father.
Or the Good Father.
Right. But yeah, JBL had, I think his career backs up being Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay. No, yeah. All right. All right, so let's kind of first before we go any further about the current events in the wrestling, let's talk about our sponsor. That's right, Collar and Elbow. When you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code RINGSIDE, all capital letters. You save 10% on your entire order, and you help the Ringside Podcast out in the process. So that's right, guys. Go right now, store.collarandelbowbrand.com. Use promo code RINGSIDE, all capital letters. You save 10%. Jeremy is pointing at the sign right now. It's WrestleMania season.
We need a photographer in here to just take pictures of us pointing at stuff.
Okay, then we can do that. We all have phones, so here we go. Jeremy is, there we go, pointing at the sign. That's right, collarandelbowbrand.com, promo code RINGSIDE. You save 10% off your entire order. Why not do it and wear the best wrestling apparel today and support the greatest wrestling podcast today?
And if you order within the next 30 minutes, JK will give you another 10% off. He'll pay it right out of his PayPal. Just send it to www.hugsandkissesforunicorns@yahoo.com.
That is 100% fake news.
All right. So now, real quick, Raw and SmackDown the past week. It looks like it's all leading towards, of course, we kind of figured Dolph Ziggler was going to get involved in some kind of a situation with that date between Otis and Mandy. I'll have to see what happens with that. Why Mandy went ahead and went on with it, because she just stayed there and said she didn't tell him to go away. So it's interesting how what's going to happen there. The love triangle. Dolph's always in these love triangles. He was involved in a love triangle with AJ Lee and Big E. He's involved. I'm just playing. I'm just
Nikki and John.
Was he involved in another one with
Rusev and Lana?
Was he involved in no, that was Cena, Zack Ryder, and okay, never mind.
So you're saying his name shouldn't be Dolph Ziggler, it should be Cuck Ziggler.
Sure. So anyways, yeah, so he so that's going on. And then on Raw, you get the Monday Night Messiah having a sermon. I kind of like I still like what they're doing with him and his disciples.
Yeah. If you remember last week, I said something needed to happen this week to further mm-hmm. that storyline for it to keep my attention. And even though it kind of befuddled me a little bit why you would add more numbers to the hero side, I figured that we needed some more on some more disciples. But I mean, it did intrigue me a little bit. I'm pretty sure that's just so they can set up the Street Profits versus Rollins and Murphy for the tag titles at Super Showdown angle. That looks like it. That's what's going on going forward. But other than that, I felt like Raw was just a dud. I'm sure. I know we talked about this last week, and then we've also talked about it on social media as well. I don't like all these pay-per-views in between the Rumble and WrestleMania. It kind of, I don't want to say it devalues everything, but like when you win that title shot at the Royal Rumble, like you should be straight on focused about WrestleMania, not Super Showdown, Elimination Chamber,
yeah.
Tuesday in Texas, Saturday night main event, NXT on Wednesday. I just feel like just cut out all the pay-per-views in between. Add them somewhere else in the calendar if you'd like to. But like from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, maybe one show in between the two.
And I don't like that you have the Elimination Chamber, because now the winner of that match faces Becky, but yet Becky is trying to have promos going after Shayna Baszler like she already won. So it
doesn't make sense. So.
No, and I don't mind that the winners of the elimination, if you want to do that, just take away the Royal Rumble stipulation.
No, even the Royal Rumble's one of them.
Well, yeah, well, you've got two brands, so yeah. But just, and then have all the, have the other two, yeah.
Well, in this case, so. In the women's situation, the winner of the women's Royal Rumble went to the NXT champion, so you got two different.
Right, so you'll be able to have two chamber matches if you so choose to do. But who knows? Because for the second week in a row, we saw Matt Hardy killed off again. So I have no doubt whatsoever we'll see that happen again this Monday, since his contract runs out the next week. I think that's I know that y'all listen to this up in Stanford. Matt Kent, please blast this loud towards Vince's office if you can. I don't know if they'll let you that close anyway. Don't let Matt Hardy walk away. His stuff on YouTube is better than 95% of the stuff that's on any of wrestling television right now. It's creative. It's captivating. It's doing everything that we want wrestling to do. Tell stories. And I don't get it. I don't get why you would let Matt walk. I don't get why do you have EC3 sitting on the shelf? He's a phenomenal athlete, a great talker. People were really behind him in Impact, and I know that doesn't always translate into a superstar in the WWE, but look at the track record. Almost everybody that's come from that place has come to WWE and took their lumps early, and now they're striving. So I just don't get it. I don't get what's going on, right? And then you got Ziggler being wasted on SmackDown as Corbin's lackey / Otis's dream killer. These guys are phenomenal wrestlers. Let them wrestle.
I don't know. I'm not that negative against it like you are. That I guess I don't feel that passion and hatred towards it right now. So,
Do you watch Matt Hardy's stuff on YouTube?
I do not. No.
Okay. Yeah. If you watch it, I feel like being a wrestling head like you are, I feel like you'd be like, oh crap, this.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it's good because Matt's always done stuff good,
really good. Yeah,
but I'm just saying, like.
No, literally, there's only like one or two things on TV right now that even hang.
By the way, shout out to Chris Jericho, and here's why. He's like one of the guitarists of Fozzy, Rich Ward, shared a video when he was sitting in the couple rows at the Atlanta show the other night. And like literally, man, he comes out, the crowd goes nuts for his theme song, sings the whole song. The song goes off. They're still singing. It's still going on, and finally they get the chorus and they go ahead and ring the bell and start to. It's just like it's like so crazy how over that cat is, as, even as a heel. So shout out to Chris.
I feel like his song's more over than he is.
Nah, he's over. Nah, he's over, man. And that's, you know, but I, by the way, shout out to AEW Dynamite. Other than two segments, maybe, best AEW Dynamite they put on completely.
It is. And it's getting better, but my...
Tag team matches, need to quit burying, burying the stuff, burying the show, or burying the refs and all that stuff. So we're going to pause just for a moment. All right, guys, we're back here at the Ringside Podcast, and we got our guest here, a special guest. We've you know, when we say who he is, we've got to play the sound effect, right?
Absolutely.
Cash money right here, cash flow. Cash, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, Daniel. How you doing, man?
That is an awful introduction.
I agree. That's
not how you. I have been begging you for months to get the LOB on this show, and you always tell me, no, I don't want to deal with them.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're the ones that always end up hitting you during the matches and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, well, pretty much.
Daniel, he ate some of my chops the other night.
Yeah, chops.
You took him to the chop shop.
Chops and splashes.
Splashes. Yeah.
Didn't you want to challenge him to a chop off in the future or something like that?
I think JK did say that.
I thought he did.
It was on the last episode. I'm pretty sure.
Now, go back and listen to all the episodes, but I think it was last one.
If you guys can see my face, you can see how big my eyes are. You know, I kind of light up when I hear shops open. You know,
yeah, like, exactly. Yeah.
So the way you should have introduced him.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Do it.
Is as the cornerstone.
Okay. Ooh.
The foundation. If you were to go, we all always hear about the Uso Penitentiary.
Okay, all right.
We've got the LOB lockdown.
Okay. All right.
And on the corner of that, when you go into that neighborhood,
yeah,
in that first store you get to,
okay,
on the corner,
my shop,
that's a chop shop.
Yeah, okay. That's my shop.
Yeah, okay.
Across the street, you got some ninjas throwing stars and stuff like that. That's cool and everything, but this is the first line,
okay,
of defense of the LOB. He is the man. He is the enforcer. He runs the chop shop.
He is also the current OVW Tag Team Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Daniel. I didn't get to that point.
I'm also about to be the current new South Heavyweight Champion as soon as I smash Chase Stevens Saturday.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So.
Is there any way we can get a one-on-one match between y'all two?
Who? Me and Daniel?
Yes, please.
I referee. I don't wrestle.
You got a big mouth for a referee.
Look, he's took me out like three times. I'm gonna stand a chance in him in a match.
Plus, that wouldn't be too fun.
Well, listen, I know how this match would go down. Cash would pin Daniel, and he would count the free count with Daniel's own hand.
No, Daniel would count.
You know,
it.
Look, a few years back, man, I did a cosplay wrestling, and I did the Incredible Hulk. We did the Incredible Hulk versus Loki, and I actually did that with a referee as the Incredible Hulk. Picked him up and counted to three by picking the referee up by his shorts. One. Two, three. Oh,
that's
it was great.
That's hilarious.
Oh, it was great. I'm telling
that,
you.
Yeah,
great.
That would make me pop for sure. Pop for sure.
So next time he comes on, you introduce him correctly because that was weak.
Okay, I got you. Well, I would have went a little further into it, but then you wanted to interrupt and get your glory in.
Here's cash flow, cash money.
That's all you said. All
right, sure. Speaking of, let's talk about cash flow, okay? Let's talk about his career and what he's done in the wrestling business. I mean, I was just looking back at some of your, you know, I know you've got a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And you show a lot of some of your older matches. And, man, I'm telling you what, you go look at that and you're like, man, what? This is some, this is some good shit, man.
Man, I'm going to give props to my wife. She helps me with all that. You know, between what all I do and the time that I have, you know, she takes time out of her day. She helps me upload. She does a lot of – she takes a lot of those clips. So, mad props to her. But there's still a lot of stuff out there that I'm still trying to get.
And even
some of that stuff, you know, is probably pretty juicy stuff. So,
yeah.
Some of my old JCW stuff, I mean, there's matches like me and Vampiro. I mean,
well, you've been in the ring. I was going to say, but so many talent, so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Vampiro, CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, just think all the guys. I mean,
Adam Pearce, Colt Cabana. You know, I mean, guys that probably aren't, you know, Ace Steel. You know, Chris Hero, of course. You know, there's quite a bit of stuff with Chris Hero, but I mean, you know, those were the guys that were coming up when I was coming up. Of course, you know, they happened to do things right. and get to where they actually wanted to go. And, you know, I'm out here having fun. I mean, I'm still having fun, but, you know, I didn't quite get where I needed to go.
Well, it's all about sometimes, you know, politics and things. And, you know, you could, you know, you don't seem like the type of guy that, you know, brown noses, I guess is the right word.
Well, I'm really not. And I wasn't really into the politicking game. Some of the guys that I hung out with, you know, they kind of did a lot of that. You know, I was there to have fun. And, you know, back then we treated wrestling like a big party.
Now, we usually don't promote this company. Not that anything's wrong. They have a lot of talent that came out of that company and all that. But you did a lot of work in IWA Mid-South.
That is where I broke into business in 19. I started there in 95. I didn't wrestle my first match until 1996. Tom Burton, he's passed now, but that was my very first match, and I was doing a security gimmick for those guys, and they wanted me to come out of the crowd, and you know, some I can't remember, but you know, I was labeled as a tough guy because something happened with somebody in the crowd, and one of the wrestlers there was, you know, about to get, because I mean it was pretty crazy, you know, Athletic Commission was a nil back then. And something had happened, and I just happened to be in the middle of the fray.
They're known for wild, crazy fans, wild, crazy matches, death matches even, and things like that. So, I mean, you're going to have some crazy fans.
It was pretty crazy. And that's what they wanted me to do. That, you know, it was one of them open challenge gimmicks where, you know, they call somebody out who's tough enough. And Tom Burton was known as a shooter, so – you know, hey, let's throw the young guy in there and see what he can do.
So now, you were just there to be security, and then you got in the business, or did you go?
I was going to wrestling school. And, okay, I mean, you know, they put you where you need. You got to pay your dues somehow.
Right,
you know,
right. Of
tearing
course.
Rings down, setting them up. You know, I was doing security during the shows until it was my time to step in, and they just wanted to. There's your time. Go ahead.
By the way, tearing down the rings, paying your dues. And I want to say, me, you, even Al Snow, still to this day, tear down rings. And I mean, like, it's part of the business.
It is part of the business.
So if you're, don't ever think, you know, out there, guys, if you're listening, wrestlers, you're trying to become big, you know, get out there and get in the WWE Impact. Don't ever think you're too big to tear down the ring.
Yeah, well, know. I mean, everybody needs to do their part, you know. Right. It's a privilege to be able to get into the ring, you know. Some of the not so glamorous parts of wrestling, you still have to get your hands dirty. And if you don't, then you're not going to be able to do the more glamorous things if you don't.
So, right. Exactly.
You know, you need to make it a point. And if there's any advice that I can give to the young guys, you know, when you're trying to get on somewhere, you go, and if there's anything possible that they can use you for, that's how you start cultivating relationships and building bridges that will pay off for you in the future.
Absolutely. That's just absolutely. So this was, you said 90, what year was it, 90 what?
96.
Mm-hmm. Your first match, okay, so was that, I guess you were your first angle, so do you remember your first, like?
Well, I was in wrestling school with a guy named Lenny Montgomery. He wrestled under the name Rolling Hard. He actually trained at Danny Davis's right around the time where they started, 94, 95.
In the Jeffersonville set, yeah.
Yeah, old Mechanic Street. He was under the name of Tornado Taz.
Okay.
Well, it didn't work out for him too well there. He didn't like it. It wasn't any fun to him. So he'd come over there when Ian was opened up the IWA Mid-South, and he, you know, started working around there, started paying some dues, helping. And when I started there, that's who I was kind of connected at the hip at. So we started doing some things. You know, we would do the whole tag gimmick. We would wrestle each other, you know. He would be the one that we would ride together. We would set rings up, tear them down. So that was probably my first kind of, you know. But they didn't do a whole lot of, like, angles and feuds and whatnot. You know, it was more of, you know, you were getting in there and you were fighting. You know, the angles itself were the gimmicks and stuff that was going on. You know, they fancied themselves as, come see this. This is crazy. Right. And that's what it was. You know, it wasn't about necessarily telling stories. I mean, it turned into that, you know, but early on, that's not really what it was about. It was about going in there and seeing how tough you were.
I can see that. I can see that for sure.
I mean, you know, I did some good things with guys like Chip Fairway, who's not around anymore, and, you know, American Kickboxer and Tarek the Great. And you know, I had fun. You know,
yeah,
I had some good mentors too. You know, guys like Bull and you know, of course, Tracy was always coming in, and, you know, the likes of Tommy Rich and Dutch. And, you know, I met a lot of interesting people. I would not be anywhere if it wasn't for the time that I had to put in early there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be anywhere.
Now, Ian, at that time, he would travel, right? He would do a lot of stuff in Indy like a lot. I mean,
we did a few house shows, but at that time, we were doing weekly shows on like a Thursday out there. So, you know, he may have one or two spot shows a month, but it wasn't like a week to week thing. You know, mm-hmm. he would run a wrestling school early on, and then we would turn around and do the weekly wrestling shows on Thursdays.
So who was actually running the school for the most part? No one?
Ian was in there working with me. I was the very first student in that school.
Okay.
I was the first guy to come out of there and actually work. You know, of course, later on you had people like, you know, Mickey Knuckles and, you know, Hero trained there a lot. You know, Punk would come in there and work a lot. I mean, Isaiah, of course, came in there.
Right.
I think early 2000s, I think, 2099, 2000, I think.
What's that? There's a match, Saul, you, Isaiah, it's a triple threat match. I can't remember who the other. Did you the one that shared it with me?
No.
It's not even, it's on YouTube, but it's not your post, but it's you, Isaiah, and one other person is a triple threat. And I think John Howard, our friend John, he's a referee in it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who the third person is, but it was y'all were so young.
He's been reffing my stuff for a long time.
Y'all were so young, man. Isaiah looked like a baby. He looked like, I mean, just
bald headed,
clean shave, like baby's bottom. Like, so it was crazy.
I found another old match of Isaiah and myself yesterday, 2001. Me and Isaiah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty old.
Are you talking about this one here? I was about to ask you if you ever wrestled for this organization, but I see it now, D1W.
I did. I wrestled on the first D1W show.
Is it this one right here, though, Daniel? Cashflow versus Murder One versus Isaiah?
No, that wasn't too long ago. That was
2016.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago.
No, this was, they were young. They were young.
Also, this is an older match.
Yeah. Okay. You could tell Isaiah was probably a couple, like 2 years green, if not if something like he's.
I mean, yeah, he was probably 18, 19 years old.
Yeah, he was greener of the two, but he still was good. He was not.
You could tell he moved. He could move around.
Yeah, yeah.
You could always tell that about High, though, and he wanted to be there. It wasn't it wasn't one of them things where, you know, guys are just half-assed it. You know what I mean?
So. Now. You know, you don't have to elaborate on this as much, because I know the reason why we say we don't talk too much about the IWA Mid-South just because of our connection with OVW.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of, you know, when you're kind of in the same region, I guess. But they have a lot of history. A lot of guys have come to it. But as far as the relationship with Ian, how was that? Is it still good today? You know,
I don't talk to Ian anymore. Yeah. Let's see. Back in 2011. I mean, it's not a any kind of tumultuous relationship.
Right. I
ran my course mm-hmm. at IWA Mid-South. I think the last show that I worked there was a benefit show for Shane Mercer when his mom passed. Mm-hmm. Actually, I worked Shane Mercer the night that his mom passed, the night he got the phone call.
Oh,
we were getting ready to go to the ring, and that was my last match there. And I did it for him. I didn't do it for, you know, mm-hmm. Ian. It was just, I don't really have any kind of relationship with Ian anymore. It was fine back in the day. You know, he knew what he wanted. It was his product. He knew, you know, and I was perfectly okay with that. And I was perfectly okay with learning from the guys that he had brought in because, you know, that was one of the only games in town at that time. So,
yeah.
You know, I was just like, yeah.
Well, you hear so many people, they'll say, and you could tell that they may have just had heat with him or whatever. They'll slam him this way. And then you have other guys that's like, nah, he's fine. Everything's good. I've never had a problem with him. So it's just always curious to hear those different. I'm sure the same way with Vince McMahon. There's people that, I hate Vince. I'm never going back. And then, oh, Vince is my buddy. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it happens.
Way we are with you. Like, some of us love that you're here and the other, both of us hate that you're
wish
here.
Wish you would go away.
Yeah, wish you go away.
But you mentioned something about half. Just real quick, I want to fit this in. You mentioned something about half-ass. And I have a Twitter question from @Ricky_Chevy.
Oh, gosh.
And he wants to know, by the way, this is his bio. human being slash family man slash dad slash husband slash son slash brother, Bullitt Countyan wrestler and entertainer slash part-time podcaster. That's a lot to fit in there.
Yeah, part-time podcaster.
Yeah, you know, he was on our show them four times.
Yeah. Making use of the 140 characters on Twitter.
But he wants to know what's your favorite Ricky Chevy moment, or do you have a favorite Ricky Chevy moment?
Does he really want me to go into that? All right. I'm just going to tell the story because I lost my gourd one night. There was, we were in the firehouse in Shepherdsville, and for whatever reason, Ricky Chevy had this singlet on underneath whatever it was. He was working in some blue jeans or something.
Yeah, he had like the skeleton mask on.
Yeah, man.
And a cowboy hat. And it was, if I could find that picture before we get done, I'll show them.
He had to go to the bathroom. And I think he was going to, I think he was wrestling Bull Payne that night.
He was.
So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Bull Payne is, oh gosh.
And dude, he had to go to the bathroom so bad. So he clipped a hole in his singlet at the crotch so he could go to the bathroom. And you know, it's bad enough to do it. But then you got a locker room full of dudes. And you come out and you kind of make that announcement. Man, I had to go to the bathroom, so I had to clip a hole in my singlet. So you got Mr. Bull Payne over here in the corner, and he said, I mean, if you know anything about Bull, you know, he's, you know, just.
Right.
And what are you doing? You did what? I mean, it was, and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. I laughed until I had to go work, and then I came back to the locker room and laughed some more about it. I mean, it was great, and. You know, that's Ricky Chevy in a nutshell. Entertaining, I will say that. You know, out of all those hashtags or whatever, underscore deals he's got on there, entertaining, I have to say that.
Wow. Yeah,
he is quite the character.
Yeah, he's quite something.
Ricky. I'm going to find that picture. I just got to remember what year that was.
But yeah, no, but at the back of what I'm saying, so I know that you, honestly, though, like I said, I don't know if you want to talk or what about it, but you've never said one bad word about Ian Rotten, honestly. Mm. You've always like, I just don't work for him no more.
And you know? I don't, I'm going to be honest, I don't really have any bad words to say.
Yeah.
And if I was to say, you know, I don't like the way, you know, some guys feel when they work for him.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You know, that's not me. The only thing that I would say, my take on Ian Rotten is this. Ian is one of the better matchmakers out there. Now, and one thing I can say about Ian, he never was stuck in a time. Like, matches he booked back then was right for this time. Matches he books now was right for this time. Now, these are what some of them might be considered 5-star matches. Mm-hmm. You know, the way he puts guys together and the way that these guys work. I mean, he's always done. Now, as far as the business side of wrestling, it's probably not so good for that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I mean, he would be good like an agent, like an agent for, you know, company.
Probably. And, but that would never happen. Ian Rotten will never.
No, yeah, of course.
You know, let go of what he's built over the years.
Yeah.
So right. You know, he's gonna live by that. He's lived by that, and you know, that's
the I will say this. I did a show for another company out of the same arena that he runs into. Mm-hmm. And he was there like in the crowd, and I guess one of his guys was in the match or whatever, and I was something was going on, and then he came over, he had another referee, Sean, say, hey, told him, he goes, Ian wants to see you. I said, Ian wants to see me? I'm like, yeah. He goes, why? He goes, he just wants to tell you something. I was like, okay. So I was like, why is Ian Rotten? So I'm thinking, because they needed a ref that week, and I'm thinking, oh, he's going to ask me to come ref. I was like, oh, no. So he wasn't. He actually said, hey, there's this one spot, and he was in the corner, and I noticed, you know, I could hear them calling what they were doing. Mm-hmm. He goes, and he was just like, I think you know this, but I just want to encourage you to talk. Talk loud.
Yeah.
And I was like,
kind of distract the attention. Yeah,
right. And I was like, and I go, okay. And I walked away. That was some good advice. I was like, okay, great. Wow. And I know that, but it's just that moment. I was like, and I was thinking back going, I really didn't say anything. Yeah.
You get past all the BS and all of everybody's opinions. I mean, he has been around for a lot of years.
Oh yeah,
I mean, and that counts for something.
I mean, you know, I mean, some people, I know you can claim, he can claim Hero and Rollins and maybe even Punk if he wants. They did go through his system and his, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the word I'll use is that he may have used them a lot, but you know, as far as him training and using them, I don't know, you know, whatever. But
I don't really have a take on that. I mean, this is independent wrestling, and the time when those guys came through, you know, I'm not taking that away. You know, he's seen something good in those guys.
Yeah.
You know, but the time, there wasn't a whole lot, you know,
right,
that was out there at that time, you know, so everybody, and, you know, it wasn't just him reaching out to those guys, you know, everybody wanted to come in. We were drawing 500-700 people in these small venues, just loading them out. And, you know, everybody wanted a piece. So it wasn't necessarily a him finding them, you know, the paths just kind of crossed.
Oh, because, yeah,
you know, there wasn't a whole lot of out there at that time.
I mean, Samoa Joe and Cabana and Punk, I mean, all of them, and Daniel Bryan,
one of the more successful guys, you know, you talk about CM Punk, one of the more successful guys that had come out of there and spent a lot of time there was a guy named Dave Prezak. You know, not necessarily in ring, but, you know, he's been running that Shimmer Girls, you know, one of the first all-girl feds that has actually just, you know, been blowing it out of the water. A lot of the females today that are succeeding had come from Dave Prezak's fed, and Dave Prezak spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about, like, the impact that OVW has on, like, the overall history of pro wrestling with, like, Batista, Orton, Brock, John
Cena
there.
The 2002-3 class, yeah.
Yeah, but I think IWA here sort of has an understated role in the business. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's produced a lot of, like, big-time talent. Like, you go back and watch, like, the Punk Hero matches, the one where they literally sold out the house and then proceeded to tear down the house that same night.
Right.
Your matches, Cabana's. You know, there's a lot of very good stuff. So if you haven't checked it out, man, just go ahead and do it.
And there's another thing, too, is that, you know, yeah, I mean, all the people that you mentioned, like Drake Younger. I mean, look at where he's at. I mean, he's to me right now in the business, other than Charles Robinson, me watching refs, he's my favorite ref. He's the best ref in the business.
Absolutely. Today. He was always very studious in any of the locker rooms he was in. I'm going to be honest, I never would have pictured him, you know, going there. But I guess, you know, if you really want something bad enough, and that's, you know, that's a testament to all of the younger, if you really want something bad enough, you will do whatever it takes to get, you know, even if it means transitioning from being an in-ring talent to...
And he was a great wrestler.
A ref, yeah. And he spent, you know, he did a lot of the, you know, he did a lot of the gimmick stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The gimmick matches. I mean, he really made a name for himself in one of those gimmick feds, like Combat Zone. Is that where he spent a lot of time?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just a testament, you know. You you get in where you fit in. You
right,
know?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's... pretty much probably going to be set for life now.
Absolutely.
Because of that.
And he, you know, you got to take into account, he's got a good support system too.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like, you know, he's happily married. He's got, you know, wonderful kids. And sometimes you can't do all that if you're not settled.
Well, and also too, he's, you know, in your, you know, you're doing his ego didn't get in the way. He didn't say, nah, I'm going to make it as a wrestler. Nope. I'm going to go as a referee.
Yeah. I'm going to go and do what I want to love and work for, you know, who I started the journey to work for.
And that's happened with the last two, three. They've signed three referees, but they signed two women in the last 2 years.
Which I happen to think is pretty awesome.
When they signed them, they both were wrestlers. They came in training, tryouts, and they go, well, why don't you do this? And they decided to, okay. And then, look, they both get signed. Other than, you know, our friend Rump, who got signed this past year, IWA and OVW.
I found the Ricky Chevy.
Oh, Lord.
Picture where he's in his – got the little noose around his neck and his cowboy hat and his skeleton.
You know what I think? I think that's a horrible picture. You know why? Because that noose should probably be tighter.
A lot tighter.
You have to tweet that out there. This is what we were talking about. So it gets out there.
I didn't realize he had done so much wrestling. Well, whatever he called wrestling.
So you, when you, you said 2011, is that when you came to OVW? Because you came in the first time, yeah.
Yeah, I think the first time was 2010, 2011.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Somewhere around there. I came in with Pondo and them, and we were, I don't know, they were doing the, they were trying their hand in an invasion.
Oh, yeah, it was Tuff and Pondo, right? Both of them? Was it Tuff there, too?
Yeah. It was us three. We're the ones that jumped the rail and did the deal with, well, I mean, it was the whole squad. It was the whole OVW locker room at that time. Of course, you know, I don't know any memorable guys that was there at that time. I think.
Goddard's, wasn't he? Goddard's there?
A guy named Beef Wellington.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beef Wellington.
Yeah.
I remember him.
And yeah, he was in what the little, what, he played a Brad role.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up getting him a job. I honestly can't think of any, you know, of course, the Andretti's and, you know, Bruiser Vic was there. I don't know of any. I don't even know if I knew Jesse Godders at that time. I really don't remember. Who any memorable guys that was there other than the guys that I'd already known
right
from the roads or whatever, but yeah. And then I what came
was
back
and, was Cheese and Rudy there?
I think Rudy was there.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Rudy.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Cheese. I don't know if I knew him back then though.
Right, right.
I don't know. Man, all that's muddled. Right. You know, my memory plays games with me, man. It's been a long time.
It all blends together. I still think about OVW in the past. Like sometimes I get the Mechanic Street and the new arena like all mixed up. Wait a minute, was so and so there? Was, you know? So yeah, it happens too as well. So I get that.
What can you do?
So you came in. How long were you there? Was just the invasion angle? That was it?
No, we did. It transitioned to something else. I think I was the last one standing. I think Tony and Pondo had ended up going their separate ways, and I think I was the last one there. And I think my last match there was against Beef Wellington. And I remember going in the back after that and asking, because Dean Hill was there. Of course, I got a long history with Dean Hill, but he was there. And I remember asking the guys that was doing the booking at the time, the guys that it ended up bringing in, you know, us three, you know, well, okay, this is over, you know, where do we go to now? Because it was just such a definitive end to it. I mean, you know how that goes.
Right.
And they were like, well, we'll let you know, but right now we don't have anything. And that's the way it was.
Hmm.
I think it was about a year. I think I ended up being, I think Pondo ended up doing about 6 months. And
yeah, he wasn't there very long. I talked to him recently because he asked me if I could try to get him some of the videos, but he said he wasn't there, but I thought he said 3 months even.
It might have been. Yeah. I mean, it might have been, and it might not have been as long as a year for me. You know, like I said, all that was kind of muddled and muddled and quick. And
at that time, if I'm mistaken, WWE done pulled out. This is right when TNA came in, I think.
I think it was before that.
Before that?
Okay, yeah, okay. I think it was before that TNA thing. I think TNA was, what?
12?
Was it 12? I thought it was a little later than that.
There you go. Yeah, good on the Google machine.
hey, I'll look up anything.
Yeah.
Them little pocket computers we carry around these days.
Right. And what do we do before those?
Oh, yeah, right.
We actually talked to people and looked stuff up in books.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for real.
You had the Encyclopedia Britannicas, right?
Or as my professor called them in college, weapons of mass distraction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty much what they are. You ever see my 9-year-old?
So it says the promotion was unaffiliated from February of 2008 until November of 2011 when it became the farm territory for TNA.
Wow, it was 2011.
So it's 2011. Yeah. You're only a year off, Daniel. Good job.
Well, it was something like that, yeah.
I mean, it was like 2 months away from 2012, so I'll give you credit.
I thought it came later. I mean, I just did. Maybe when I took a dip, maybe, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, I just wasn't paying a whole lot of attention.
I didn't realize that it went without an affiliate. I thought like the affiliation with WWE ended and then a year later, but I didn't realize that was almost 3 years. In between the two.
Yeah, it was a while. I knew that because it pretty much was. And I think Danny, like, really, I think he kind of really. Something. I remember hearing a story. I don't know who. I can't remember if Tim Ash told me it or not. But basically, it was like he connected the right people and was like, let's come on in because they were losing money, you know, after they lost on the money, you know, so.
And he had gotten all the stuff he needed from the E. He just needed some, yeah. some capital there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wanted. I think he wanted to sell it. Is what he at that time.
Yeah, he'd been. Well, I mean, he'd been wanting to sell it for what 10 years.
Yeah, he's going to sell it then. So, and Al still calls it the rib and the biggest rib he ever played in the business.
And I laugh every time I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So that's. Did you came? When did you come back?
I want to 17.
Did you go? Did you just travel and do a bunch of different stuff? And
I did a few things. There was a time because my daughter was born in 11.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where I just, you know, a couple bookings here and there. You know, I didn't totally pull all the way out. You know, because I still enjoy wrestling. I mean, I'm still doing it today. But there was a time where I wasn't taking a whole lot. I took a couple feds, a couple guys that I knew, Yeah, I had taken a couple bookings here and there, and I wasn't really doing anything real big. All that didn't start until, you know, probably 16 when I really started, you know, trying to get back out there. And because I think in 2000, there was one year I moved to Seattle. I lived there for about a year. I helped Buddy Wayne work. In his, because he ran his school out of his garage. He always called it OVW West Coast. And I worked with a guy named Caden Matthews. It was right as Shiloh come
to the east. Okay.
Because he came from Buddy Wayne's.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Buddy would always, man, I love Buddy Wayne. He would always talk about Shiloh. Yeah, Shiloh's over there now. That's cool. You know, I didn't get a chance to put a name with a face until I got back and I actually come to work for OVW. So,
and what a talent he is, man.
I mean, he's good. He can go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he gets enough credit.
He doesn't.
You know, I wish
he does.
You know, I wish there was, you know, I wish there was some way I, you know, something I could do for him, but I, well, you know, I'm not.
There's certain people, like, you know, when you find out, like, as a referee, you're finding out who you're working with, and you're like, all right, yeah, he was always one of those guys. As soon as I see his name, I mean, it's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be so.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. He's full of personality.
Yeah.
You know, I think probably the only thing that would probably hold Shiloh back, or the only thing that's held him back, is, you know, his size.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling's supposed to be a big man game. You know. But I mean, as far as like in
ring, but he's been, you know, the last year he's been really working on his body.
Hmm.
Really, I mean, he's hitting the weights hard. So he's got this new, I don't know if you've seen it at all, this new gimmick he's got going on right now.
It looks good.
It looks good, yeah. And he's a champion over an organization over the river here locally. So
yeah,
you know, he's doing something right now.
And he's getting them reps in. He's staying at it. You know, I think that's the key. I think. Tracy Smothers once told me, man, you can do big things all you want. You can do them once a week. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, in professional wrestling, longevity is the key.
Yeah.
No matter how, you know, the longer you're around by default, more people you're going to be, you know, people are going to know who you are the longer you're around.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take that to the bank as long as you can survive.
Right. But it's a crazy business.
I think Shiloh was always, from a fan standpoint, I feel like I always enjoyed his matches and his work. And I really feel like when he got to do the stuff with DL3 where they were this past year when they were the breakdancing, you know, the Entourage. Was it called Entourage?
Yeah, Entourage 2.0.
Yeah. I ate that up. I loved it. I thought he was able to show more of his character and his creativity. I just actually, even though I like what he's doing now, I think he missed out. He could have done so much more with the Vanilla Ice knockoff stuff that they were doing.
Well, I think there was a lot more he could have done. I think sometimes you get – there's only – you know, it's kind of what – sometimes you got a problem with – sometimes we talk about WBTV or whatever, different stuff. You got so much talent they're trying to use and utilize on a one-hour television show.
You only got so much time and only so many places that you can that you can – Dude.
Now, granted, having a second television show that started this year after he stepped away from OVW, so, you know, he probably would have been used a little bit more and have, but, you know, but doesn't mean Shiloh's not one of those guys. He didn't burn a bridge.
Mm-mm.
He's not everything. He stepped away the respectful way. He'll be back. you know, we all knew, we all know he'll be back. We all was like, we'll see you soon, you know, kind of deal.
They had to create a second show because the first show, the main show, was being dominated by the LOB.
Who are those guys? Oh, yeah.
The
greatest
faction in OVW history. Which brings me to my next question. It was recently somebody, well, it was me, posed a question on Twitter, tagged all of you, tagged all of them, and said, hey, who's the greatest faction in OVW history? And, you know, you all, very humble, didn't say anything. And Jesse Goddard's come right out and was like, oh, we're the best by far. I'm like, no, Jesse, no. No. I mean, they would be my 1A and 1B all time, but definitely the stuff that y'all are doing now, I love it.
I think it's long overdue in OVW. I think that particular type of thing was, you know, the way we carry ourselves in the ring, I think is a breath of fresh air compared to things that I have seen in OVW in the past. And I'm not taking away anything from anybody that has ever been in OVW or whatever. But I think the time, you know, I think people want to see wrestling as wrestling or fighting.
Right.
I think the time for being soft in wrestling and going through the motions and not really having your heart into it, I think that time is over. I think the reason that the Legacy of Brutality is as popular as it is because we bring a certain credibility in the ring that has been long forgotten.
Yeah.
Inside Ohio Valley Wrestling, and we're going to continue to do that because that's just who we are. I think, you know.
Well,
that's just it.
I will say this, and you know, not to give too much away, but I've been kind of learning a lot of things within the wrestling business at OVW, and one of the things I've been able to be a part of is certain committees,
mm-hmm.
and I've been pitching for something to happen,
mm-hmm.
and I was pitching hard. There was Man Beast and a couple other ones, and so if this with what's going on with LOB, if something can be done, what we like to see happen, I'm telling you, it would be amazing. And I'll tell you what it is off record, but man, it would be amazing. I kind of told you about it before you walked in the gorilla.
Me and Power was talking. Yeah, I've kind of heard
some
things, but. You know, we'll see. You know, this is wrestling, and we're not gonna give anything away. What's coming?
So. No. But I'm telling you, that'd be money.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm shocked y'all trust him with any secrets. He's just like a little girl when it comes to gossiping.
Whatever. No, I'm not.
I do like the change. Can you hit that one more?
Yeah,
time?
Right.
Oh yeah, I love that. That's great.
We put that in there just for you, and that's yeah. That's not.
Yeah.
How do you say it? That's a shoot.
Oh, it's a shoot. Oh, yeah. It's a shoot, man. Yeah.
I will say this. It's great to be over. I love being over.
It's weird because my favorite part of this podcast is when it's over and I don't have to look at them anymore.
Okay. Oh, great, but great.
Give me my rim shot. Thank you.
That was more of a...
No.
That sounds like the soundtrack of my life right there.
That sounds how like the bathroom did after I had that buffalo chicken sandwich earlier.
That's what I smelled when I come in. I got it.
That's probably JK's hat, but still.
Oh, man.
So in your career, of course, you've had many different matches and things. I mean, it's probably hard to pinpoint your favorite, but let's say we have to. What would be, you know, your favorite match that you've had or moment, maybe even?
Man, I remember. For me, wrestling is about moments and it's about feelings. Okay, I remember the realism I felt when at one point there was a Fed versus Fed kind of thing. It was a combat zone versus, you know, the other Fed that I used to work for, mm-hmm. and I was paired up with a guy named Nick Mondo.
Hmm.
And I remember the realism, you know, of, you know, this guy's going to come in here and he thinks he's going to, you know, outshine every, you know, I remember feeling, you know, cause we all know wrestling,
right.
You know, but I remember that really well because of how it felt, you know, I was going to go and I was going to show out, you know, I could say any number of matches. You know, I have gotten the opportunity to work every hero I grew up watching, except one, and I'm still trying to goad him into getting back in the ring. But I can say any number of those. you know, and regardless of like in-ring work or whatever, regardless of how the matches went, yeah, they're still the greatest because, you know, who you're in there with.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's a couple that I would run back to this day of some of the most obscure people that you've never heard of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Guy named Dysfunction. He works out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He still runs shows to this day, but I had some of the funnest matches with this guy. You know, a guy named Psycho Patrick. I worked him when the Juggalos came into town. I was fresh off the Juggalo tour back in the early 2000s. Those were super fun because, you know, you got the clowns over here on right. the ringside. And, you know, I really can't pinpoint one that just heads and tails above the rest, because wrestling has truly been a ride for me, and I have tried to make it fun each and every time I go out there. It's just I can't do it if I'm not having fun. That's why I'm having such a good time right now, because who I'm with.
Now,
you didn't ask me what my favorite cash flow match was.
Yeah, because you know what? I'd be curious to know myself.
All right, what is it?
Versus Ducky. I love every time anybody puts their hands on Ducky. I love that whole program where you stole his play or his Xbox or. I loved all that. I don't know why.
I should have hit him with it.
You should have. Why is Ducky, like, I have no problems against him personally, but every time I see him, I just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, he has that.
Why does he have
people?
A punchable face for?
He just does.
The worst part about it, he's been following me on Twitter for about 6 years. So before I even knew
he liked you,
he was a wrestler. He was a fan of like the website and stuff, and had no idea. And then one day I was looking through, I saw Sam Thompson liked your tweet. It was we had put out like a photo collage of Muhammad Ali after he had passed away, and it was like Sam Thompson liked your. I was like, Sam Thompson, that sounds familiar. And I clicked on little Abby, and it was like, oh no, that's Ducky. He follows me. So I went up in the corner and blocked him.
That's funny.
Those were always fun. I mean, you know, those were always fun.
I thought you were going to say the match where he chopped me. I thought this is what you were going to say. That was his favorite.
No, I mean, I love any time you get beat up.
You know, I would say my favorite match with you, Cash. I don't know if I've shared this on record here, but my introduction to you was actually SWE back in like the mid-2000s or so.
Uh-huh.
And they say wrestling is sort of like a drug that once you pick it up, it's hard to let go. Uh-huh. I would say that's sort of like my gateway drug to localized wrestling in a sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, SWE was sort of like the best kept secret at the time, because, I mean, there was you, there was Shane Mercer.
Jordan Cage.
Yeah, Jordan Cage. I mean, Crazy Mary Dobson before she got to WWE.
Absolutely, yeah.
Your matches with Shane Mercer, that was such good stuff, man. I was always entertained anytime you two got in a ring together.
I would like to make that happen. We may make that happen Mania week, because the LOB is going to Mania week. We're going to leave on Wednesday, and I think we're going to stay down there till Sunday. And, of course, you know, Shane is one of those guys that we'll probably end up hooking up with. So we're going to try and we'll see what we can do.
I see Shane. I usually do something with Shane. The last 2 years in Mania, I've done some kind of hangout with Shane, so I'm sure I'll be with y'all too.
That's always a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrestling Shane is not the most fun part. It's being around Shane outside.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just so.
It might not be fun for you, but the chop outs between you two, my God.
Oh, yeah. One night, a funny story about Shane Mercer. One night, you know, I was helping some guys in the ring for SWE, and of course, you know, Shane was there putting in some reps or whatever, and me and him kind of had a little shoot fight, and man, he is a little squirrel. I got a hold of him, but the minute I got a hold of him, he crawled up to my shoulders like a little Spider-Man and wrapped his arms, which weren't so big back then,
right.
But I couldn't get out. I mean, he was a little squirrel. He crawled up me still standing up. Crawled straight up and sat on my shoulders and wrapped his arms around my neck. I couldn't get out. I was like, little. Yeah.
He's a beast now, man.
He is a beast. Yeah, he likes him weights, don't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he was a beast even compared to some of the guys brought in. I mean, there was Cage. There was also Lennox Norris, too, who was really good. What would you say your favorite match was in SWE?
My most fun match in SWE, it was me and – well, it was the deal I did with Jimmy Valiant. That had to be the most fun.
Oh, yeah, that was in the summer of 14, I think, right? Yeah,
it was the second in the second building. The original, anything in the original building I loved because it just had that feel that we would have been able to make something out of that. You know, it had the old studio, NWA studio feel. I always wanted to do that, but it just wasn't in the cards at that time. But anything in the old building that had to do with Shane Mercer, you know, the deal we did with me throwing him off the top of the rafters and stuff into the ring was just great. And, you know, we would pack that little building. I mean, it wouldn't hold much, mm-hmm. but, man, there would be so many people in that thing, you'd have to open up the garage door and, I mean, it was fun.
Yeah, I think the last show that you had at that warehouse you were talking about, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was you, Shane, or Hardcore Douglas, one of them, but I talked about, like, Hero and CM Punk tearing down that building at IWA. Yeah. Somebody got speared through the entrance. I don't know who it was exactly, but I saw that happen. I was like, holy, like, did that just happen? What?
Yeah, we were constantly trying to tear that building up. the landlord wasn't too happy with us at one point. So
wow. The well, I'll go ahead. You guys.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to talk, sir. They had this thing going on now with NWA Power. It's called the Circle Squared. It's a second program. They kind of bitch all style and things like that. But it's where they take guys that are in smaller promotions all across the country and pit them up against each other. Like this week it was a father-son team. Now, the son was the one that they just showed jumping off the mall. Have y'all seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that video.
And who did they wrestle? Well, evidently they weren't too memorable because I don't remember who they were. But do you see maybe y'all, the LOB, maybe venturing down to NWA country and maybe trying something like that?
Man, the LOB would love that. I think we would have fun doing it. You know, there is no telling. There's no telling, you know, without getting into too much detail, you know, wrestling is a funny business and, you know, timing comes into it and, you know, opportunity comes into it. So, you know, if timing is right and the opportunity is there, I guarantee you the Legacy would tear the stage, the NWA stage up.
I would love to see it because it's the one thing I can't speak for them too, cause I don't know how much they watch the NWA product, but for me, you know, growing up when I did watching wrestling and stuff, I watched Jerry Lawler and them tear it up on TV.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It was such a – that the studio, Phil, like you mentioned before, of Channel 3 Wrestling at the time, mm-hmm. That's kind of what NWA Power brings back. And I know they're trying to replicate what NWA and WCW had there when they were on TBS and stuff.
Right.
But it's such an old-school feel to it. Everything they had there, and I just feel like you all would fit in perfectly there.
I think the personalities would be great. Of course, I would thrive. I mean, me personally, I'm sure the other guys would too, but me personally, because I came up with Georgia Championship Wrestling and USWA. I mean, that's my deal. That's what got me started. So, you know, I would thrive in that particular type of studio setting.
One last thing, and then you can talk again. So just shut up for a second. OVW, if y'all are listening, I've always been a big fan of yours, and I'm not going to fanboy like Daniel does sometimes when he's near Chris Jericho, but...
Who's not, right, Daniel?
But OVW, if y'all are listening, give this man the microphone more often. Just from being on here with us and talking to us, I can hear so much more in your voice than we get to see on TV. They need to get... Cash is money.
I can attest to it, too.
Thank you. Give the man the microphone. Y'all don't have... Y'all have a lot of great athletes there, but there's, in my opinion, and I may be biased, whatever you want to call me, there's only a handful, and my hands are pretty big, so there's a handful of people there that can talk on the mic, and I never realized until today, you should have that mic in your hand a lot more often.
Some of those other feds that I work for out there, sometimes they regret giving me a mic, but I do, you know, I feel like I've had a lot of practice. I have the gift of gab. So,
well,
you know, if I need to cut a good promo to try and heat something up, I will cut a good promo and heat it up.
As somebody once said, Cash has the gift of gab and the gift of jab.
Yeah, right. See?
So that's something I was going to mention. You do drive down to Tennessee a lot.
Absolutely.
Down there. And I know you work with, when you do other shows outside of OVW, you work with, is Billy the P, is that right?
Yeah.
Great manager.
In my honest opinion, you know, his experience is second to none in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because of you know, Billy's stance in life and the hand right. that he's dealt, he has to work three times as hard
oh, yeah.
as anybody else. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, Billy, you're the greatest, you know, to be able to do what you do and you know, have to go through what you go through on a daily is simply amazing to me. And you know, me and Billy, we've been friends a long time. We actually broke in the business, you know, pretty much the same time. And I'll be the first to say he's probably my best friend in the business.
Yeah, you brought him. I was actually excited when you brought him to the E-Ton show one time to kind of because you had the show to go to or whatever.
Yeah, we were doing a double shot. Yeah.
So and I was like, you bring wait what is he going to work this you know, this live event or whatever? I was pumped up, and of course I know I think you would like to bring him in and do something.
I still want to. I'm still trying to catch a time and get him in there and. You know, let him talk, because I know once, you know, the powers that be or whatever talk to him and see how he really is, they would use him, you know, if for any reason to try and help some of those younger guys garner some personality and some heat, which...
I'll tell you what, next time we go down to Campbellsville or Pikeville or somewhere a little outside the TV, bring him along, throw him in the...
I'll do it.
Yeah, put him in it. Put it... Just do the... Hey, it's me and him, whoever... Yeah. I'm telling you, once the powers see them work, it's going
to
be over.
Yeah, Billy DePie is fantastic. That's another guy that I remember seeing in SWE. I mean, he managed you. He managed my cousin, Eddie Young.
Yeah.
You know, he is so inspirational. He's so good on the mic. He is a true legend in the Kentucky wrestling community for sure.
Absolutely. I think they're in one of these feds that I do down. I think they're gonna give him like a Hall of Fame kind of nod in their little, you know how wrestling is, you know, right. The local feds or whatever, but they're gonna recognize him for his tenure and his ability in there, and you know, he's pretty stoked about it, and I'm pretty stoked for him about it. So
yeah, for sure. He talked a little bit about NWA, but do you watch the current product at all?
I do not. NWA, I've watched one show, maybe. And the only reason that I don't is because time, you know, you know, with my family and stuff that I do, you know, outside of wrestling or whatever, time is very, very, very short for me. Of course, I mean, you know how we had
to fight.
It just is, you know.
Yeah.
I work, you know, just wrestling sometimes three, sometimes four times a week right now. So. I mean, it's just short, and if I hear of a good match that I would like to see, you know, I'll go on there and watch it. But I won't go and watch a full production of NWA Power. Although I've heard excellent things about it. I mean,
but do you get to watch Raw, SmackDown, AEW, any of that?
My daughter is a big wrestling fan, and every WWE event that she can watch, she will beg Dad, can we sit and watch this? So, you know, I know it gets a little late when you're talking about a 3-hour spot, but, you know, we at least catch about the first hour and a half, 2 hours. We usually catch, because it's on a Friday, all of the SmackDown Rip Wednesdays. We usually have a lot of stuff to do, but we try to flip back and forth. You know, she's not really big into All Elite Wrestling, but, man, she loves her some NXT, though.
Yeah.
She's just a big fan. And if either of my kids become wrestlers, it's going to be my daughter. It's not going to be my horse of a son. It's going to be my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing about, we were just kind of talking about before you came in when we restarted the show, but, you know, AEW last night, one of the best shows they've done, and by far that cage match between Cody and Warlord, man, that was awesome.
I haven't seen a whole lot of Wardlow stuff, but I mean, in my opinion, anything that involves Cody, I mean, that's just one of those top of the line personalities in wrestling that, you know, I think anything that he touches turns to gold at this point.
Yeah, it was awesome. The storytelling was just great.
Was it a cage match, you said?
Yeah, cage match.
I might have to go back and check it.
Yeah,
I always like watching good wrestling.
And the cage was a little different because the bottom was a little open. It wasn't tight, so they didn't really use it, but they teased it for probably future
wrestling. It sort of reminded me of like the cage that Halloween Havoc had in '97, where it just sort of like circled around the ring, but there wasn't enough like square footage to really walk around it per se. Yeah. I don't know.
I think I know. Okay, so it's set on the floor. It's one of those cages mm-hmm. that's set on the floor and not right up against the ring.
Yeah. It was good, though. But the match, though, itself, the storytelling, the everything you had, you know, with Arn out there. And
what
you know,
was there any kind of, I mean, had Wardlow and Cody been working?
It's a
Jericho thing.
No, MJF is a story with him and MJF, and okay. he had to agree to this match to get his match with MJF.
I got you.
And apparently, he had to win the match because they said it last night that he had to win to get the match. Yeah. So we were thought it just had to be in the match.
So that's the big payoff.
That was right the big there. Payoff. If he won, then at their big pay per view next week, he gets to take off. Cody takes on MJF. So
because that. Yeah.
So you see MJF. Yeah. You see MJF doing his thing on the outside. You have Arn Anderson was out there. It was just great storytelling. Really good. And that was the main event of the show. And that was the build up for the last like what 4 weeks
basically
for this match. And it was a great payoff. Like it was it was good.
The whole storyline in general has been nothing short of fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm old Four Horsemen March. Anything that has Arn in it, I don't care how old he is. Show yeah. me. I want to see a spine buster one more time.
Same here. Double A is a top 10 all-time favorite wrestler for me.
I mean, him and Tully both. So,
real quick, a couple final questions. Mm-hmm. We talked about your favorite match, you know, as being a worker, but now as a fan, what was your favorite match you've ever seen?
you know, come to mind, Flair and Lawler. Mm-hmm. Simply because, you know, I'm a huge Ric Flair fan, and I come up on Jerry Lawler. They didn't meet a whole lot.
Right.
But, you know, when they did, it was money. Tully Blanchard and Magnum T.A. in a cage, an I Quit match, where Magnum T.A. stuck a broken piece of a wooden chair in Tully's head, made him say, I quit with a microphone. You know, back in them days.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, that's the type of stuff that, you know, made me, you know, man, I'm ready to do this. This is real. You know, you feel the emotion or whatever in that. You know, that was a really good one. You know, of course, anything early, you know, Dusty, Georgia Championship Wrestling was good to me. You know, I don't particularly have a, you know, because there are matches that any Ric Flair promo would be good as any match that I back on the old studio deal, any Ric Flair promo was as good as any match I ever watched.
And, yeah.
You know, just because it pulled you in and you were ready, whether he was wrestling a, you know, an enhancement guy or not, you were
right.
ready to see him get in the ring, do whatever. So,
final question. Does Jake the Snake deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
All right. Give
the man. Look, hey, you know, everybody, look, I'm just going to say this and I'm going to be as serious. I'm gonna be as serious as I can. You know, Jake the Snake gave whatever part of his life to professional wrestling, and this Hall of Fame,
yeah,
is a professional wrestling Hall of Fame. Whether it's you know WWE's or you know even Joe Schmo down the road Hall of Fame. It's all about wrestling, mm-hmm. and Jake spent a lot of time in wrestling and did a lot of good for the business. You know, brought in a lot of stuff that wasn't, you know, aside from Coco Ware, was the only one to use any kind of, you know, gimmick like that, a live gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, I think he deserves it. You know, not to mention the time in his life where he could probably use the money that the Hall of Fame does for you.
Right.
You know, that particular Hall of Fame. You know,
and then what was the other one? Roddy Piper.
I did not say Roddy Piper.
I thought you said it last week.
No, it was Coco Beware, and it was Jake the Snake Roberts, and they are both absolutely legends. But when I think Hall of Fame, I think the best of the best, and that's not to denigrate anything that Jake the Snake Roberts did. But if you put Jake the Snake up against The Rock and his credentials, can he beat Stone Cold? Can he beat Ric Flair? Can he beat Kurt Angle? Can he beat AJ Styles? I can name 20 people he wouldn't match up against.
But you take those guys in
The Miz. I mean, The Miz
right.
has
right. But you take Jake the Booker Snake. T. But you take the Jake the Snake in 1985 against Rocky Maivia in 1985. Jake the Snake is going to kick his.
Well,
you know. So there's
it's all relative. It's all a matter of perspective.
Right.
You know, Jake the Snake, when he was 30 years old in what year, 95, 94, 95, mm-hmm. you know, they were selling out houses when it was extremely hard to sell out houses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you take, say, your, you know, Rocky Johnson, you know, and when he was 30 years old, you know, those houses, you know, it was already branded and those houses were already there. Do I think that he was the most entertaining dude in the world? By God, yes. You know, is there, is he going to be in that Hall of Fame, or is he in the Hall of Fame? I mean,
yeah. Yes. Right.
Who? I mean, it's all
Jake
relative.
The Jake the Snake is now, but not The Rock.
Let me get this straight.
He will be.
Huge. When I was 10 years old, I've told this story. Jake the Snake chucked a couple of empty beer cans.
I know
at me.
You. That's why you're mad at him for that.
No. But I was a huge week. Look, his stuff with Randy Savage, his stuff with the Ultimate Warrior, yeah. Even his stuff with Steve Austin. I loved all that stuff. I'm a Jake Roberts fan, but to me, when I think Hall of Fame, I think the best of the best, stats wise, business wise, and for me, he's not there.
Okay. I have the
privilege, and I'll call it a privilege because it is a privilege. I have a privilege of seeing the sport of professional wrestling in an entirely different light. And in that entirely different light, I would have to disagree with you. I think Jake the Snake has he put in the time, and he deserves to be able to make money for the rest of his life, whether it be by a Hall of Fame or an insurance check or something,
right.
You know, as long as, you know, he doesn't squander it or, you know, do right. Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying?
Or buy a whole bunch of beer and chuck the empty cans at little kids.
Yeah, well, you know. Hey, I'm sure they did a lot worse back then. Right. You know, they did what they had to do to get
well,
by.
And also, and I don't respect it. I respect your opinion. I don't respect his. But for the way that I'm seeing it as a fan, and I feel like Jake the Snake is an absolute legend, and he deserves all the benefits of being a legend. I feel like, though, in any sport, when you talk Hall of Fame, you're talking about the best of the best, and there's not one era that you could put him up against that era's Intercontinental or Heavyweight Champion and say, okay, as far as watching, entertaining, and drawing money, he's the reason why. But again, we all have different opinions.
But you also think the evolution of the business too, like where wrestling was in late 90s, early 90s is different from today.
So his
psychology and what he did in promo, what he did with the live gimmick, what he did in the ring.
You know what? I take it back. Wrestling was, I don't think it was wrestling so much. It was different. I think the type of fans was different. But I have a question for you guys. Do you think a Hall of Fame, do you think a Hall of Fame that big and that renowned, do you think that Hall of Fame should be based solely on what the fans think? And should it be a fan poll as opposed to an office poll?
I think it should have.
That's a good
question. I think the fans, well, here's the problem. The only problem I see having with fans voting is that fans, no doubt he deserves it. He should be in there, and he won't because of the lawsuit that happened in 99, but Owen Hart should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Never will be because Martha doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, she has bad taste in her.
So, and I get it, and I totally understand that. Right. She has as his widow, she's ever right of that. So I get that, but he should be in there. I think even some fans, there would be enough fans that would push because of what he did in the ring to get Chris Benoit in there, and I think Chris Benoit, what he's did at the end of his life, does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but don't you think that I think that would make for good TV, radio.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I mean, even if you can't, you know, even if you can't put those people in there, or even if, you know, there's something, you know, extenuating circumstances that wouldn't allow them to go in there, you know, just the fact that you would open it up to, I mean, let's face it, to the fans, the guys that make wrestling what wrestling is, right?
I also think, you know, there hasn't been a referee put in there, and I know I'm a referee, but there's a lot of people that deserve to be, like the Hebners deserve to be Earl, for sure, but even Dave.
I love me some Earl, man.
Earl and Dave, I mean, I still to this day, we call the, you know, we talked the last show, I was like, Earl Hebner it. Like, we still call it the Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
And doing that or just, you know, or
what
even.
What was the one ref's name at the very, like at WrestleMania, it was WrestleMania 1, he had dark hair. It was like Joey something. He was like one of the original WWE or WWF referees. He was, but I mean, you're right. I don't think there's a referee.
Do you guys remember? a guy by the name of Danny Davis.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The referee one?
Yeah. The only heel referee that I ever remember. You remember when he flopped and went with DiBiase and Virgil and those guys, and he actually wore the tights with the stripes on them.
Yeah. He joined the Hart Foundation, too.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon could be in the Hall of Fame. He was a referee.
Because there was referee Danny Davis and then nightmare Danny Davis. So, yeah.
To me, that was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
To this day, people still get them mistaken. They're like, hey, you know that guy? I had to correct somebody on Twitter the other day.
Well, Danny used to say, Danny was on Steve Austin's podcast once and said, Danny Davis, a creative OVW. He even said, for a long time I used to have to say, no, I'm not a referee. I'm Nightmare Danny Davis.
What was the Hill referee in WCW? Was
Nick
it Neil
Patrick.
Nick Patrick.
Yeah. Nick Patrick deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Tommy Young.
Greatest referee ever. Tommy Young.
Charles Robinson.
Mike Chioda.
Charles Robinson. Mike Chioda. Those guys will be here when they retire. I feel like Chioda and... But like Tim White, I mean, he did great. Yeah. Jimmy Cordes, I mean, a lot of these guys.
Who is the guy that died? I know it's horrible to say.
Referee?
Tim.
No, he was real tiny. The one that it beat up a fan, that tackled a fan.
I thought you were talking about him.
No, he's still alive. Tim White's still alive.
Tackled a fan when they jumped in the ring, I think, with Austin and Triple H. What is his name?
He passed away?
The
blonde hair? Yeah, blonde hair?
No, he had a mustache. Real small, frail. Or he was frail, you know.
I'm trying to remember now. I know you're talking about.
The guy I was trying to think of earlier was Joey Morella. He was the guy that was the WWF guy right there. You probably recognize him if you saw his face.
Yeah, I recognize him.
I don't know who you're talking about, though.
He had, I mean, kind of a mullet. Mullet and a mustache. I can't think of his name, but he rivaled, in my opinion, Tommy Young as far as his in-ring reffing, you know.
See, Jack Doan, but it wasn't Jack. He had dark hair, right?
Yeah, I think Jack did. Man, and I was on a few shows with him, too, and I cannot remember his name.
He did pass away?
Yeah, he's passed away. He had stomach cancer or something. And I'm trying to remember him on here, but doesn't do him any justice. But he was one of the good ones, you know. And he was always super nice, just like the Hebner. Always super nice to the guys, and you know, he was one of the boys. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at. I'm trying to find. There's a lot of older ones.
Mark Curtis, God, I could.
Mark Curtis.
Yes, yeah, Mark Curtis, one of the great ones, man. I'm so glad I finally remembered his name without the use of Google. I might add.
Yeah, people that use Google for stuff like that are just non-intelligent.
Oh yeah! Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I'm telling you, he was a good one.
Oh yeah!
I knew it the whole time. I was just waiting for you to get it. I didn't want you to feel bad, so I just kept it.
I appreciate that.
Not a problem.
He was in WCW, right?
Yeah.
I remember.
He was great. He was a great dude.
Yeah, I remember him. Wow. I did, and I remember him passing now that you said, like, it all, like, clicked to me.
Yeah.
It all came back to him.
It all came back. But you know, it's, you know, Joe, I just did that purposely just because I know that he says things. I know if you say it, all of a sudden he, like I said, changes his opinion. Well, yeah, I respect your decision.
No,
yeah, absolutely.
I absolutely respect his opinion. I absolutely will not bend on this.
Well, Daniel.
There's a Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame for me.
Well, Daniel, you got to take into account. I mean, you got to take into account what he said.
Yeah.
You know, he is a big-time wrestling fan. So, you know what? You being within wrestling, you got to respect a man's opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know? He's a fan. I mean, you know, yeah, I'm Legacy Brutality, and I'll be the first one to point in your face and probably throw something at you. But, you know, fans is why we do it. I do it for that. Yeah. Fans. That's why we do it. If he thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame, you know, or if he doesn't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, you know, I'm sure you've bought enough tickets to be able to.
Yeah, respect my authority.
All right.
His authority.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Even though for us to have that kind of relationship, that means I have to actually acknowledge that he's in the business, something that he has tried to claim years before he actually was.
No, it's not.
Go ahead, hit the button.
No, remember, I was.
There's no bigger name dropper.
I was working shows all throughout Southern Indiana as a referee weekly but it wasn't OVW yet. And when I joined OVW January of last year, all of a sudden I'm now in the business. But for a year I refereed. It was never in the business of these other organizations.
You referee in matches when you're playing with the toy wrestlers at home, counting 1, 2, 3. That doesn't count.
No. I was refereeing in arenas that Cash also has wrestled in before.
Sure, they were very respected arenas.
I've been in some unrespected arenas, I might
add. I think we all have.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's one over in Jeffersonville that stank from the second I walked in. But
it's still there.
You
could
smell the the legacy. No pun intended. You could smell the legacy or something in that building.
Yeah, and that's one I'm not going to put it over, but I'm going to say that's probably one of the better ones that I've been in.
Yeah.
When
it's true.
Working a barn with a dirt floor and, you know.
Worked outside, nothing around. You get change in a trailer, in the back of a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked in the back of a U-Haul truck.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Granted, the U-Haul truck didn't have rats in it, but, you know.
My favorite, though, is when we did that show up in Randall Floyd's hometown, and we get the show. All that's a big show. Everybody's excited. Where's the locker room? It's right there. It's like the little back of the trailer, like this big trailer. All of us try to fit in there and change.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing. And it's hot and sweaty in the middle of summer.
It's good old wrestling for
good
you.
Good old wrestling. Uh-huh. Well, Cash, where can we find you on social media?
Social media, Facebook, you can find me at... I Am Cash Flow is my fan page. You can find me on Twitter at Cash's Chop Shop, Instagram Cash KY. You can also, I got my own website that you know, I put all my merch and stuff up. It's chopshopwrestling.com. You know, if there's anything you need, just go on there. And you know, if you're at a show and you happen to not have any cash, you can even do that, and you can pick your stuff up there as well. So you can see, what else do I have, any other ones? Yeah, I got you can find my YouTube channel, Cash Flow, no W. People get that mixed up all the time. You know, idiots will be idiots. But, just find me YouTube, all my stuff. I've been uploaded a lot of new content on my YouTube channel. You know, you should go follow it, subscribe to it, help a brother out, you know.
Watch that match between Cash Flow and CM Punk.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'm about to put another one. I'm about to put another one up there that's pretty good, too, but.
Did you ever work with Rudy? Rudy Charles, the referee, Dan England, WB.
I was doing some stuff for Burt Prentice and Mike Porter down in Tennessee, and Rudy was the referee quite often.
Okay.
I mean, I know Rudy, of course, you know, he was Burt Prentice's guy. Yeah. So anytime I worked for Burt Prentice, Rudy was reffing the matches. Cool. So I mean, it is what it is. I'd actually tried to do some of that extra stuff, but I don't think I'm cut out for extra work.
You know, but you know a lot of people there, though.
So I do.
If anything, you'd be like catching up with everybody.
Yeah, I do know
sure.
a lot of people there.
Thanks for listening. You can always find us all on the podcast avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or the new, us new on the show are on that app, iHeartRadio, the number one place for podcasts, as the number one wrestling show now. You can also get us on ringsidepodcast.com. Don't forget us to follow us on Barn Burner, our partnership with the Barn Burner Network. Download their app. We air the show weekly on there. Listen, like every Thursday is when it goes live on Barn Burner. And you can get us on the social media, the Twitch out, the Instagram, and the Facebook at Ringside Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy _ CSC.
At Krogermania.
All right. And Cash, we appreciate you coming on. It was money for sure.
We got to do it again sometime, fellas. I absolutely enjoyed this.
Maybe to make Jeremy happy, because I know he's been like going nuts here. Maybe next time you can have some guests, extra guests with you. Like, you know, say a Hosea.
I think I can make that happen.
And an Ashcraft. And
I think I can make that happen.
Okay.
So we have six mics, and we can just tell JK that we're not recording that week and he won't show up.
Oh, that is wrong. I will say that.
ain't like we haven't done it before. Just playing. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, as always. In the meantime, between time.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
See ya.